If you want to open up to Ephesians chapter 1, that's where we're going to be today. Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're going to be going through some verses today. We will have, you can do your Bible app if you want to. You can open up your Bible. If you don't have either, we'll put the verses on the screen. We'd even love to give you a Bible for free if you want, because we believe the Word of God is alive, it's active, it has this ability to transform who we are. So we want you to be able to follow along. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 says, "This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus," so it's giving context for the entire letter, "who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ." And so as we get into Ephesians, I'd like to give a little bit of disclaimers, because if you have read the book of Ephesians before, you may be interested that I'm going through this. And if you haven't, you're going to understand this in a minute. Is at this church, I know a lot of us are newer to vertical, is we believe what's called spine issues theologically and rib issues theologically. And the way we define that is if you remove somebody's spine, their body is going to crumble. It is no longer going to work. I don't care how much muscle you got. If you remove somebody's spine, it's going to crumble. And so we believe there's theological things we describe as a spine issue. If you remove this, we're not talking about the same faith. Like, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. Spine issue, okay? That he lived a perfect life. Spine issue. Died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Rose from the dead 3 days later. Is coming back in. Those types of things, spine issue. Like, if we don't agree on that, I'm not going to beat you up or anything, but I'm just going to say we're talking about a different faith. But then there's rib issues. If you remove somebody's rib, that's not comfortable, but the entire body is not going to crumble. And so, you know, a rib issue may be, do you believe in the spiritual gifts? You know, do you believe in some of the things that we're about to talk through? And we would classify some of the things we're getting into as a rib issue, okay? And I just try to say this with all the love that I can. Christians many times look far too much like the world when it comes to how we handle disagreement. Christians should be able to disagree and go, hey, I don't quite see it the same way. Here's my scriptural backing for why I do. But we don't just go at each other. You know, that looks like the world. We should be able to disagree and still have an operational love, because what unifies us is Jesus Christ. And so I want to tell you, you can write this down. It's okay to disagree with me, okay, on the rib issues, okay? The spine issues, I'd love to talk to you. But the rib issues, it's okay to disagree. And we can still love one another and help each other follow Jesus Christ, which is the main point. Amen? Oh, okay. Now you're like, man, what does Ephesians say? You're curious now. I've not lost you yet. Okay. So as we go through this, one of the ways that God speaks to me is through questions. And I think questions are incredibly helpful to bring clarity. I don't know about you, but in the world we live in, with either what you're going through circumstantially in your personal life, or what's going on in our country, or what's going on in this world, or what you're going through at work, or financially, do you ever feel like, my goodness, it's like I'm in a washing machine and I'm just going around with all these emotions and thoughts and experiences and circumstances, and all of a sudden we've been going around and around and around, and we feel like, man, I've lost clarity. I fully believe one of the many blessings of Scripture is Scripture always brings clarity. And so we're going to work through Scripture today believing that God has an ability to bring clarity to all the things we're facing. Because I don't know how you don't show up today and you don't have any emotions or thoughts, regardless of what you're going through personally. And I know some of what you're going through personally, whether you're online in the building, hard things, very difficult things. I know some of you are going through difficult things financially. I know some of you know what's going on in our country right now, and it's weighing heavy upon your heart and your mind. You know some of the things that are going on in this world, and it weighs heavy upon your heart and your mind. There's many things, but I think Scripture is going to bring clarity. And the first thing that I would ask for our question as we see this is, when you see verse 3, it says, "We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm." Did you notice that? I liked that. I don't know about you. I like when it says, "We've been blessed with all." I like all. Not just one spiritual blessing, not just two. It says we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. So if you've given your life to Jesus, what Paul is explaining is if you've given your life to Jesus, what already awaits you is all spiritual blessings in Christ in the heavenly realm. So what does that mean in context? Is it means that there's another realm, though. It's not just one realm. Have you discovered this? I don't know if you have or not. This would be fascinating if you haven't. You're a physical being as well as a spiritual being. You're not just a spiritual being. You live in a physical body. You know, I'm reminded of that if I have too much gluten or dairy, you know? And so you may understand there's a physical realm and a spiritual realm. And so we're told in the spiritual realm, in the kingdom of heaven, if we've given our life to Jesus, we already have all spiritual blessings. It's already taken care of because of Jesus. The issue is the physical realm, right? So what we are told is all the spiritual blessings await for us in the heavenly realm, but in the physical realm, it feels like I got zero blessings sometimes. There is a large dichotomy of difference in the blessing factors, okay? Some of y'all feel that way? So how do we put those two things together in light of, okay, I believe I've got some spiritual blessings in Christ, but I feel like I'm going through very difficult things in this world. And the question I would ask in light of Ephesians, especially verse 3, is what is the most important realm to you? What is the most important realm to you? The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of this world? The reason that question is so important is if we truly say the kingdom of heaven is the most important realm, then even if we're going through difficult things in the physical realm, we understand this does not change what I have received through Christ. Amen. It's entirely possible for me to still understand all the blessings that the Lord has for me in spite of the difficulty I'm facing in this world. You can see this if you go through Scripture. It's going to be a wild thing if you go back and read through it. I suggest the Bible. I think it's great reading. But it's why you can see people who are like the disciples or Paul, they can be writing things like this in jail. And they're like, I've got all spiritual blessings while they're sitting in jail, while they've been beaten or arrested or lied about, all these things. They're like, I'm good. Paul says something outlandish. He's learned to be content in all circumstances. If you go read, not all the circumstances have been good, but he's learned to be content because what matters most to him is not the physical, but the spiritual. And the reason questions are so important is we need to answer the question and decide, do we align our life with the answer? It's not just the ability to answer a question, it's do you align your life with it? Because we may be online or in church, and the pastor asks a question, do you value the heavenly realm? Do you value the kingdom of heaven or this world? And we're all like, I value the kingdom of heaven. But have you aligned your life with that answer? Because it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to live it, right? Have you discovered that in your workplace? It's one thing to say, I follow Christ, but then when things get real difficult, I need to follow through. Like students, you know, like when you're walking around your campus, it's one thing for you to say you're a Christian, but it's another thing for you to follow that out when everybody else may feel like they're not going that same direction. It's not always easy, but it's what kingdom do you value most, this world or heaven? And Paul says, man, in heaven, if you've given your life, it's all blessings. That's good things. Let's look on in verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. And so we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. It's almost like sounding stuff that Caroline led us in worship with. Our worship team, love y'all. Great job again today. Amen. And he forgave our sins and he showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. And so, depending on your theological background, you're either excited, you're either uncomfortable, or you're newer to the Bible, and you're like, I don't understand anything he was just talking about. But Paul, right in verse 4, says, even before he made the world, God loved us, and he chose us. Verse 5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his family. What this tells us is that God is beyond our understanding of time and space and physics. We just talked about there's a physical world, right? Everything you and I know about this physical world has a start and finish. The Bible has just described that God does not operate that way. That God is outside of our understanding of time and space because before any of this world was created, he already has a plan. He has seen through everything start to finish and has a plan. And so I don't know if you have encountered any Christians, but some Christians have very strong opinions on these things. And if this is the first time anyone's broaching this subject with you, I'm very excited because I'm going to try to graciously ease us through it. If not, you've probably experienced some people with very strong opinions. All I'll say on this is, if your theology has led you to arrogance, it has way too much of you and not enough of Christ. Okay, all right. So we got some people, they're excited. All right. That's good. I'll come back to you guys when I get some emails later. So, what I will say is, I think we add too much to the gospel sometimes. I think the gospel is very clear in Romans that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you're saved. That's what Romans says. It's extremely simple. I think that's very clear. But sometimes we'd like to put God in boxes so we understand. And we start adding stuff to the gospel, like you need to become Reformed or Calvinist on top of being saved. And or heaven forbid you become a Calvinist, you need to be Arminianist and believe in free will. And all these, we add stuff to the gospel. And the one position I will say, if you ask me, are you Reformed or are you Arminianist, I would say, I don't want to add anything to the gospel. And I'm not trying to back out of the question because I'll answer the question. But the first and foremost thing is, I think immediately we need to classify all those questions are rib issues. They're not spine issues. I'll tell you, I think you could be a Calvinist and Reformed. I think you could be Arminianist. I think you could be both, but still be saved. Amen. So I don't think it's a salvation issue. And I've sat and I've listened to both camps, and both camps have a lot of passion and scripture to back up their stances. What I can tell you reading through scripture and verses like this is Ephesians 1, I think, is very clear that God is outside of our understanding of time and space. God has a plan, and there's nothing you and I can do to alter God's plan. Our plans don't hold up when God moves. But inside of God's sovereign ability to have a plan and 8 billion and billions and billions and billions of people all doing things, he has an ability to execute his plan, and he is unfazed by us as human beings. But somehow, inside of God's sovereignty and his plan that he had even before he created the world, inside of that, there's a free will that exists in human beings. Right. And you would go, wait a minute. You say God is sovereign, and he has a plan before we started, and there's nothing we as humans can do, but you're also saying there's nothing we can do, but we have free will. Yep. And I'm go, yes. And my answer is I'm not being someone who cops out. It's genuinely, after reading scripture, I think the God of the universe that the Bible tells us about has far more depth to him than we as human beings could ever truly grasp in our lifetime. It blows my mind that he's made the gospel so simple. He's made salvation so simple that even a small child can understand that I need to call upon the name of the Lord and turn from my ways and believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again and I can be saved. That salvation can be so simple that even a child can understand, but I could also spend my entire life reading the Bible and growing in knowledge and I wouldn't be able to fully understand God. That's what I believe. And it's okay if you disagree, you know? But I believe God is far more layered and has depths to him that we cannot understand as a human being. Because the Bible says he was there before the world was created. A couple days have passed before you and I showed up since the world was created. He has been around longer than we have. I'll tell you that. And if he has, maybe, just maybe, there's more to him than a box we can put him in. And that's the struggle I have sometimes with, if I can just put God in a box and understand everything about him, then I'm good. My struggle with that is, I think if you've got God completely in a box, you're praying to God in too small of ways. If you put God inside of a box that any human can just understand every single facet of him, I think your view of God is way too small. I pray to God because I have faith in him and believe in the work of Jesus Christ, but I know I'm praying to a God who is outside of my understanding of everything. I pray to a Lord that is large and in charge. And I'm very glad I'm praying to a God that is bigger than my understanding. That's a good thing for me. Because goodness knows, if I was the only one who could understand, we got real problems. And so the clarity question I would ask as you read through this, and especially with verse 4 and verse 5, that even before the world was made, God had a plan. And God decided in advance these kinds of plans. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? That's the clarifying question I would ask. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? The reason this question is incredibly difficult is, now add in all of your circumstances and personal life experience to that question. Because let's be real. When I ask that question, what it morphs into with some of the things that you've been through, and the reality is, I know a couple of y'all's stories and the evil you have seen in this world and things that have been done to you, our circumstances morph the question into more often than not is, do I agree with God's plan? Because of what I've had to go through, do I agree with God's plan? But I want to tell you, that's not the question. I can tell you as a pastor, God has never once asked for my opinion. There was never a time where God has come and said, let me ask Philip, then we'll come up with a plan. And some of y'all can say amen to that. And so when it comes to God's plan, it's, do I believe he has one or not? Not whether or not I agree. Because if I believe that God has a plan, whether I agree with it or not, there's an ability for peace to happen if I believe what Ephesians 1 teaches, is that before the earth was created, God has a plan. And that despite anything we do as humans, we're not able to alter God's plans and purposes of what he wants to accomplish. There was nothing humanity did that was able to stop Jesus from coming. Despite everything humans were doing in the life of Jesus, they weren't able to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Despite everything humans were being, no human was able to stop Jesus from coming out of the grave. And there's nothing humans are going to be able to do to stop Jesus from returning. And if we agree and submit our life to the Word of God and believe God has a plan, there's a peace that can happen, because there's these other verses. Romans and Ephesians have a lot of similarities. It could be because God's orchestrating the Bible and using Paul, who is the same person writing both. But Romans 8 has this verse in it, and in verse 28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. So that's very similar to what we just heard in Ephesians 1, is that God has a plan. And then it's almost this encouraging sounding verse, and it works it all together for the good of those who love him. And we're like, I like the sound of that, right?
Yes, thank you, God.
But the depth of that verse is, it did not say all good things are going to happen to those who believe and love him, right?
Yeah.
That's not what the verse said. Yeah. The verse said that God has the ability to work all things together for the good of those who love him, which means God has the ability to take all the bad things that happen to you and work it together for good. God has all the ability to work the evil things that are happening in this world together for good. God has the ability to scoff at the enemies trying to work his plans and says, you can do that, but it doesn't stop my plan. Man. When we grasp that God has a plan and we're not in control of it, we're not the main character of the story, it does have an ability to grant us peace. Can I tell you just personally, as a pastor, there's moments that are incredibly hard. You know, when you're doing the funeral for your grandfather that you've prayed for, that's hard. Can I tell you, there's these moments in history in my life where I'm in immense pain, but I still have faith.
Right.
Have you discovered as a human being that both can coexist?
Yep.
That I can have this faith in God while also being in immense pain from what I'm experiencing as a human being. And it's because both realms exist. You have a spiritual realm that already has all blessings for you in Christ, and that's not a shaken kingdom, but you're living in a kingdom that is being shaken in the physical world. And so you may be here today and you go, yes, that's where I'm at. I am in pain, I'm struggling, and it's difficult, but at the same time, I'm drawn to this faith in Christ that they can't take away. That's good. That's right, my man Bobby, you got it. You with me. Somebody else out there, they already typing up an email for me. Praise Jesus. I'll read it. I can't promise I'll respond, but I'll read it. So we see in Ephesians 1 and Romans 8 that God has a plan, and he has this graceful ability to work all things together for good. And that's good news. It doesn't mean I have to figure it all out. I find that good news in the midst of my pain sometimes. You know, I didn't have this in my notes, but I do sense another piece about it. I shared this at the 9. You know, recently with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, that was very hard. It hit home differently in a way that I can't really describe. I don't know that I fully processed through it. I'm very thankful to the Lord that he had me off social media by then, because, I mean, hearing my friends say that they saw images that they'll never be able to unsee, the Lord maybe just knew my heart and my mind couldn't handle that. And it was hard to process through someone my own age being assassinated. It was hard to process through somebody who is a husband just like me being assassinated. It was hard to process through someone who had young kids just like me being assassinated. It was just hard to process. And I don't know if you can relate to that, but there was a pain with that. That I was trying to process through, and the only way I can describe it to you is there's this pain that exists in my life because of what's happened, but it didn't shake my faith. Like, all I could kept coming back to is I'm in pain and I'm struggling to process through this, but I really believe Romans 8, that there's an ability for God to even work this together for good, and both exist. I'm in pain, I'm struggling to process through it, but God is still going to work together all things for his good. Even anything that humans do is not going to change the fact that all spiritual blessings still exist for those in Christ.
Amen.
And maybe you're here and you feel like you're in that washing machine of all your circumstances and thoughts and emotions, and the clarity is difficult to find, but I pray that if you believe that God has a plan for your life, there's a clarity that comes back to it, that he is going to work all things together for good. He's going to do that for those who love him. And part of it may be, at the end, you realize, on the other side of eternity, I've received all blessings through Christ. All blessings through Christ. As we close out in verse 12, God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God, and now you Gentiles have also heard. And if you're newer to the Bible, these are just church words. The Jews are God's chosen people. And then Gentiles is everybody else. So unless you're Jewish of heritage, all of us are Gentiles, okay? The quickest way I can explain that. Have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. Don't miss that last verse. That last verse is a reminder you and I are not the main character of the story. But these verses are so huge as we start to learn one of the many, many benefits and reasons of Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit showing up in our life when we give our life to Jesus Christ is this guarantee of what Ephesians 1 is telling us. There's all spiritual blessings waiting for you in the heavenly realms. He's like, you may not see it yet, but this is your guarantee it's coming, is Holy Spirit operating in your life. That there is this heavenly realm. I know you can't always see it. You can't touch it. You can't always experience it sometimes. But Holy Spirit is this guarantee of it's coming. It's coming. It's there. Trust in the Lord. It's why Holy Spirit is so important in so many different reasons. It's this guarantee that if you and I are crazy enough to value the kingdom of heaven above this world, there's good coming. And even in the bad things we face, there's still good that's coming. That's why Holy Spirit is so incredibly important for a multitude of reasons. But it's this guarantee of God will do what he says he's going to do. And it may be a long time since his return. It may be today. And it may be tomorrow. Maybe 100 years from now. But the Holy Spirit guarantees that he is coming back and we will receive all blessings in Christ. So the last question for clarity I want to ask is, what is the main goal of your life? What is the main goal of your life? Because these last verses, they said we receive Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee of what Jesus is going to do. But at the last end, like I said, it sneaks in this verse that it's to help us glorify the Lord. And it's why I'm so passionate about Christians working together. It's because our goal in life should be to glorify Jesus. That's what Scripture calls us to, is to serve the Lord and not ourselves. To not gratify the desires of our flesh. To seek the Lord above all and to glorify him. So what is the main goal of your life? In spite of all the circumstances you're facing, in spite of the incredibly difficult and maybe even unspeakable things that have happened in your life, what's the main point? What's the main goal? Because if it's collectively that we glorify the Lord, there's this unity that can exist, even if we don't agree on everything. You may go, man, Philip, you didn't go far enough with Calvinism, you missed it, or Philip, you've gone way too far talking about predestination and things, and you know, you may already have these reasons you disagree, but I'm like, but can we agree that the main point is to glorify Jesus Christ? If that's the main goal, like, why can't we work together? I think division amongst Christians benefits the enemy, not the kingdom of heaven. Jesus teaches this thing that's wild. He says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It didn't say vertical church. It didn't say some other church's name. It said my church. The church Jesus is building, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So why do you think the enemy doesn't want churches working together? Because he's on the losing side when we do. And so what if we really came together in this moment? This is our moment in history. We don't have 200 years ago, and some of us, we don't have 100 years from now or anything. This is our moment where we decide by the grace of God whether or not we're going to glorify Jesus or not. Whether we do or not doesn't change whether he's worthy of it, but it changes whether or not we've submitted to it. And we make our impact in this moment in history. I believe what Ephesians 1 is telling us is that there's a plan. There's something good that can happen right now. Do we submit to it or not? It's not going to change God's plans, but it maybe will change whether or not we experience the blessings of it. And so I close out. Paul ends Ephesians chapter 1 with a prayer. Probably because he's like, the first half of Ephesians, y'all could be debating for the rest of time. So I'm just going to close it out in prayer in the chapter 1, Paul says. And so I would love to close this out, reading over us the same prayer that Paul has for the Ephesians, and praying that we're able to receive the same thing he was calling the Ephesians to, because whether they were following Jesus Christ, you know, 1,800 years ago or today, we're still called to glorify the Lord. And so as we close out, I just want to ask if you'll bow your head and close your eyes, and as we go through these verses as a prayer, just ask the Lord, I want to receive that. I want to walk in that. I want to operate in that. I want to be what Scripture's calling us to, because it's not just enough to answer the question. It's I need to align with it. It's not just enough to read Scripture, and it's not even enough just to know Scripture. It's to align with Scripture, submit to Scripture. And so as I close out, if you're willing, receive what Paul is praying for the Ephesians. In verse 15, it says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. And he begins his prayer, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the confident hope he's given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And now he's far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. And so, Lord, as we close out, man, there's just these verses that can pierce our heart and soul. Where we see that we can ask to be flooded with light. Come and, Lord, just flood our hearts and our minds with light. And remind us, Jesus, that anything we're experiencing, anything we see in the news, remind us that you are far above any ruler, you're far above any authority, you're far above any power, you're far above any leader, you're far above everything else. And we pray that you come and fill all things everywhere with yourself. Lord, we boldly ask that you come and fill us with yourself. We come and boldly ask that you come and fill Washington, D.C. with yourself.
Yes, Jesus.
We pray that you come and fill this world with yourself. That by your grace, that you will allow the proud to humble themselves before you. That you allow this country to turn to you. That you allow this world to have this revival in our hearts and mind. We stop seeking the ways of this world, but we turn to the kingdom of heaven and follow you, Jesus. We pray that all things everywhere will be filled by you, Jesus, and will be made full and complete by you, Jesus. Please help us in the midst of the pain and the difficulty and the emotions and how hard this life in the physical world can be, please come help us. Lord, move in this time and help us to align with the Bible. In your name we pray, amen, amen. As we close out, maybe you just would like encouragement, somebody to pray with you. I believe that should happen at church, where we encourage one another. Our prayer team will be available on the side of the building. They'd love to pray with you and encourage you. The altar's open. If you just want a moment with the Lord, you can stay seated and pray to the Lord. You can stand and worship in light of Scripture, but let's take this time and respond to what the Lord's doing in our life.